started last week. I will try to communicate a little bit quicker than I did last week, since I only got one of the 4 points. It is my goal to go through all 3 of these points. As you're turning to Romans chapter 13, let me encourage you that next Sunday night, we will have a deacon ordination service. We will ordain Ralph Stewart to the deacon ministry. You are welcome to attend at 6 o'clock. After that ordination service, we'll have a time of refreshment out in the multi-purpose room that's provided by the deacons, and we simply want to invite you to that special time. Also, this is the first Sunday of November, and in November, everybody thinks of Thanksgiving. It's the kind of the holiday that is sandwiched between the candy one and the gift-giving one. But yes, it's the most important one is Thanksgiving, because we are thanking the Lord God for all the many blessings in our lives. And we have a huge Thanksgiving meal that is across the street in our activity building on Sunday night, the third Sunday night. I think it's the 18th, if I'm correct. Is it the 18th? The 18th of this month. There is a board outside in the hallway that you can begin the process of signing up, meaning that you're signing up to bring food. You are bringing a side dish or two that you like to share with God's people. It's all homemade food, all homemade desserts. Did you hear what I said? It's all homemade food and homemade desserts. There's going to be individuals that will bring some meat alongside. So we're asking you to bring the side dishes. And those of you that are experts in cooking turkeys and bringing hams, you please sign up as well. Right after service, we're going to have a meeting of some point people. Individuals that are point people to help us to kind of organize this. And if you're kind of that person that it can do that and help us out, I would like to meet with you for a few moments after this service. Right after Thanksgiving, we're into the great season of Christmas. The greatest season is when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a giving tree. We will put up a tree, and the deacons will communicate that a little bit later on. We also, the month of December is when we come together as the body of Christ, because we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also believe in the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Southern Baptists still send out the largest group of missionaries in the world. Let me say that again. Southern Baptist Convention, in which we're a part of, is still the largest sending group of missionaries all over the world. And it's the Lottie Moon Christmas offering that we take up to support these missionaries that feel called by God to go into some areas that we do not feel called by God, so they can share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'll be given an opportunity of that. Then on the third Sunday of December, December the 16th, I believe it is, we will have the roundup of Operation ACE. We will have a huge meal here together. Our children from Building Hope will be singing. Our youth from across the street that meet on Wednesday night will be singing. And our choir will be singing and bring a message of hope and redemption. We will have a church-wide luncheon. Every single one of you will be invited to that. We'll only ask that you will sign up and give us an approximation of how many people come, so we make sure that we have enough food. And then we have our Christmas Eve service. Sometimes we don't advertise that, but that's on Christmas Eve, and we want to invite you to come to that special type of service. I share all that with you so you're aware of some things that are moving and grooving within the body of Jesus Christ. And we need your participation. Getting ready for the big game. Now, perhaps some of you might be in grief this morning. Some of you might be happy this morning, because there are a number of big games yesterday. Perhaps your team won. Perhaps they did not win. But in the context of what we're talking about here today, we're talking about the spiritual game. The spiritual game of you making a lasting impact in someone's life right now. Let's read in Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11 and following. And do this, understand the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. This was written some 50 plus years from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and already the Holy Spirit was putting on the heart of the gospel writer to encourage people, watch this now, to wake up from their slumber. This was written in the first century. And isn't it interesting that even today we can relate that perhaps we, you and I, need to wake up from our slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. That makes sense, right? Some of you came to know Christ at 9 years old, and now you're 89 years old, and you're a little bit closer to that redemption. Amen? You're going to be graduating to another class. And that class you don't have to worry about. You don't have to pay any dues. Amen? Hallelujah. It says here, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Verse 12, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. It's interesting there where you see the words do not think. You can also take the Greek words and you can say make no plans on how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Isn't that interesting? Make no plans. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. The second part, as we look at part two here of getting ready for the big game, number two is be soldiers of the light. Be soldiers of the light. Now I want you to think in terms of, because we're in football season, I want you to think in terms of what a football player needs. What does a football player need in order to play in a college game? One item of clothing that they need. Michael? Never mind. Kendall? They need a helmet. Cleats. Pads. How about someone from the back? Yeah. Mouthpiece. Ababu? Huh? Uniform. We got helmet. We got pads. We got uniform, we got mouthpiece. How about over here? Any, Tommy, while we, you're a football player, help us out. Cleats, we said cleats. When you think of pads, don't they wear something right here around their thighs? What do they wear? Oh, thigh pads. Okay. All right, now, picture that football player. All right, now, picture your team. Maybe you're in University of Georgia. Maybe you're Georgia Tech. Maybe you're, Auburn. Maybe you're Campbell University. They now have a football team. Maybe you're Alabama. Maybe you're Kentucky. All right, now, your team is coming out. You're all ready to go. The opposite team comes out, and they are wearing a running uniform. A running uniform. No. Let's take running a soccer uniform. We'll pick on Fowobia. Soccer uniform, right? They're in soccer uniforms, the whole team. And they're going against this team that's in all of this football gear. And they're getting ready to play football. Football, the American way, Fowobia, okay? Not with the little ball, okay? What's going to happen to the team that's in the soccer clothes? What could happen? They're going to be run over. Now, I want you to think about that. Going to be run over. They don't have a chance. There is no way they are going to beat that football team that is already equipped and ready to go. You see, as soldiers of the light, you and I must change our clothes. You and I must change, watch this now, you and I must change not only of our clothes, but we have to change our lifestyle. You and I must change our lifestyle if we are going, I said if you and I are going to be soldiers of the light, we need to change our lifestyle. Look at verse 12. It says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside. Let us take away. Let us get rid of the deeds of darkness and put on the gospel of light. It is a great picture of the changing of clothes, the changing of a lifestyle, the putting aside something that we used to participate in and put on something else. As soldiers of the light, we must shed, we must give away light, not darkness. And as ridiculous it is, for a soccer team to come out and face a football team and play football, it is as ridiculous for a football team that has all that equipment to go and play a soccer team, soccer. And it's ridiculous for us to think that if we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we're soldiers of the light, for us to continue to do the very deeds of the darkness, because it does not shed light. It does not do anything. We're not soldiers of the light. And the same writer of the book of Romans is the same writer that says, hey, you and I are in a fight. And you and I need to be aware that we need to put on the armor of God. We need to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. We have to have our feet ready to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to have the shield of faith, and there's only one offensive weapon. There is only one offensive weapon that we use. It is the word of God that we use against the darkness. It is not our ingenuity. It is not what we think. It is the penetrating and powerful word of God. So in order for us to be soldiers of the light, you and I need to have some of the equipment of the very precious word of God in order to deal battle with the darkness. As silly it is for a soccer team to go against a football team, or a football team to go against a soccer team, we are silly too when we are trying to deal with the world with the darkness upon us, with the same clothes. You cannot continue to deal in darkness and shed light. You have to set it aside. You have to literally take it off. Very makes sense, right? Because what happens is this, we're walking in the light, right? And sometimes we're walking and without awareness, we start putting on things of the world. We start putting on darkness ideas. Oh, I can do that. I can do this. And without realization, the darkness is impacting the light. And nobody sees, watch this now, nobody sees the favor of God upon your life. The reason why they don't see the favor of God upon your life, you are smothered down, clothed down with darkness. No, I'm not. Right there tells me you are. You have this attitude about you. That's not me. Yes, it is you. Yes, it is. We don't even see it. I was coming back from South Carolina yesterday afternoon, and my poor wife was driving, and I was talking. And when I say she was poor in the regard that I just kept on talking and talking about things and never letting her have an edge in wise, you know. So anyway, and I was talking about the problem in the church today. The problem in the church is that believers feel they don't need to show up. Hello? They don't even feel like they need to show up for church. Let's just lay aside Bible study for a moment, and let's just set aside and bring up church. Worship. Believers think they can handle life without church. I wonder how Jesus did it. And we rationalize. We come up.
Well, it's the preacher. Well, you know, it's the song leader. Well, the people.
What a bunch of lame excuses the church makes up. Now think about this for just a moment. Everybody do this motion. Let me show you what you're going to do. You're going to put on a hat of sanctified imagination. You're going to do it like that. So I need everybody to try. Ready? One, two, three. Put it on. All right. Very good. Some of you didn't, so some of you already are going to miss the point. Some of you just going to miss the point. You're just going to go, where do you go with that idea? Because you're not having your sanctified imagination hat on. Imagine, if you will, every single member of a church. Whoever said they were a member of a church, Westside, First Baptist, Annistown, the Assemblies of God, the Methodist Church, whatever church it is, imagine for the next four Sundays, if that happened in the continental United States of America, can you imagine what it would do? You imagine what it would do. Now please understand, I know there's some mitigating reasons on some people why they're not attending. They may have jobs and things of that nature. Or I understand that. But I'm talking about the vast 90% of them. Never, ever, ever. They think they are so much better than you. That's right. They think they're better than you. They don't need church. Now, where did that thought come from? Darkness. Hello, darkness. 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 Well, who's the author of darkness? Satan. No, I'm not. I'm not walking with Satan. How many of you can stand up and give testimony when you didn't know that you were walking with Satan? How many of you? Yeah, thank you. And you didn't realize it. And then one day the Lord just, whoa! And you just, Lord, forgive me. Golly, wow. You see, the second part here of getting ready for the day, be soldiers of the light. Let's go to number three, because I got to run on here. Verse 13. Verse 13, it's a reflection of verse 12, if you will. It says, let us behave decently, as in the daytime. Now watch this, not in orgies, drunkenness, not in sexual morality, debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy. Because we have so many precious children here, I don't want to go in depth of this scripture, and I hope that those of you will understand what I'm trying to say. This third point is be different. Or another way, be holy. Be holy. Paul says you used to be this way, but now you are different. You are to think differently. You are to act differently. You are not to be like the world. And you may say, well, what would it look like? What would my life look like, if you will, what would my life look like, all holy? What would my life look like if I was different? Well, it's interesting that the Bible has a lot of descriptions. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to let you turn to Romans 12 and look at this description of being different, of being holy. Verse 9 of chapter 12. Listen to the word of God about being different. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Watch this. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted. Paul is saying, the body of Christ, you need to be devoted to one another. Verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. This is interesting how he talks about keeping spiritual fervor. It is amazing. Look what he says. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. There is something about the body of believers coming together and serving together, because out of serving together, there is a zeal. There is a power. And I think some of you know what I'm talking about because you experienced that Sunday night. You experienced it Wednesday night. You experience this serving together. Now, I saw some people singing and raising their hand that used to be dignified. And please, that is not negative. If you think that, I'm not trying to be negative. But they got in the spirit and they got freed up. See, some of you are scared of being freed up. Well, I can't let myself get out of control. No, get yourself out of the way and let the Holy Spirit of God control you. Get in the spirit of the living Lord. Well, we can't let anything happen to us. Oh man, what you talking? It ain't gonna happen. Man, what you talking about? I would love for services to get out of hand here. Just let the spirit of God. Oh, no, we got to start this time. We got to finish this time. Some of you are more concerned about the times of this service than you're more concerned about these times, but you're not concerned about a movie going late. You're not concerned about baseball, a football. Oh, man, forget it. Man, I got to stay on. And I'm not saying anything negative about those things. But don't you dare come to me and tell me that a service is too long, when I'm sensing the power of the Holy Spirit moving in someone's life. And all you're worrying about is some food that you want to eat. I'll settle down, Cindy. It's all right. There were some people in the back row just falling asleep. I wanted to make sure they got up. I woke up here. You see, some of you are now more upset with what I just said. You're going to take that. You're more upset with that than you are with your family members or maybe other people that are going to go to hell. And you take me to task on that, and you never take them to the Lord with the same kind of vigor and vitality that you'll take me to task on. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I don't understand what is happening in our culture right now, it's not good. Those of you that know the word, you know what? It has to happen for what to occur before he comes back. Okay? Has to happen. Before any seal is broken, there has to be things that happen that have to take place. And has there been a falling away from the church? Let me ask the question. Has there been a falling away from the church? The Word of God says it will happen. Never be lacking in spiritual. Then it says in verse 12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Verse 13, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. We're talking about being different. We're talking about being holy. He goes on to say, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is impossible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. As far as it's possible. Live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. If he's doing this, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Be different. Be holy. And fourthly, this is probably the most difficult one. Be mindful of what you are thinking. Verse 14 says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think. Another way of saying it, make no plans about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. There were aspects of my life that I was very naive in. When I was off at college and being on a team, there were certain responsibilities that we had as team members and wanting to live up to those responsibilities. And I remember that in the early 70s, latter 70s rather, going off to college, that Thursday night started becoming a buzz night, meaning that the dorms, guys would leave the dorms and go off and go to somewhere and get buzzed or get drunk or drink, whatever you want, whatever term you want to use it. And because of what I saw it do to my father, I never drank anything. And but also because I was playing basketball, I needed all of my faculties. I needed everything possible to be able to play at that collegiate level. So I never participated in that. But the next day, I would see the results of that. They would miss class. They would be angry. They would be upset the next day. I saw that with guys. What's amazing to me is that on Monday of the week, they started thinking about and planning. You guys shaking your heads. Did you do that too? Oh, that's just. But you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it too, right? They start planning on Monday about what? Thursday. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what I've come to understand, I think it still goes on. Okay, it's still Thursdays. It's fascinating. I wasn't sure. I'm just glad to hear it's only Thursday. but they already make plans, right? So verse 14 tells us, be mindful of what you're thinking. If you are planning to do something that the Spirit doesn't want you to do, you see? And you start thinking about it on Monday, and Thursday comes around, oh, I'm going to fight that. What happens? You fail. You fail miserably. Everybody does, right? So in order for you and I to get ready for the big game, we have to be mindful of what we think. That old terminology, as you think, everybody wake up. Everybody stand up. Stand up. Some of you are falling asleep. Stand up, please. Stand up. Look to the person to the right and left and say, I'm so glad to see you today. Fantastic. Okay, you may be seated.
as you think, please listen, as you think, you become. As you think, you become. It is so true. If you think about doing something that you know that you ought not to be doing, you're going to eventually do it. So the fill in the blank here is think godly thoughts. Think godly thoughts. Think Jesus thoughts. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Back in the 90s, we gave out a bunch of bands here, WWJD. Yeah. What would Jesus do? And that was powerful. Because you could look down at your wrist and say, oh, what would Jesus do here? What would Jesus do there? And it was like a reminder. And you got to think about it. That's pretty smart, because back in the Old Testament, God had the Old Testament folks to say, write the scriptures on the paracletes and have it in the front of your head at the doorpost. So it was before you. And see, think about what you are looking at all the time. Think about what you're looking at, or think about what you're listening to. What are you looking at and what are you listening to? What are you looking at? What are you listening to? You will become those things. If you're watching television all day long and keeping up with all the news, more than likely you're not thinking godly thoughts. Sorry. There's so much trash on television. So much trash on television. If you're always on the internet, always on YouTube, it is a great tool to be used for godly reasons, but it's become used for ungodly reasons because we're taking selfies all the time. Now think about that. Selfie. It is already bad enough for me to think about me, myself, and I rather than me taking a selfie of myself on top of it. Now think about it. It is just something that just has become a part of our society, and particularly that's happening right today. So we have to think godly thoughts. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know. I mean, how many times have you thought about Jesus this week? How many times have you actually thought about him? How many times have you put him in your mind? Have you thought about it? How many times have you written his name, if you will? How many times have you done this week thought about Jesus? As you think, you become. You see, you and I, all we have is now. And the psalmist was so sharp, and this was years and years and years and years and years ago, and reading the Old Testament, the 39 books of the Old Testament, can give you a great window into understanding the New Testament. And so many folks don't really use that window, and I think you're missing it. But listen to this passage of Scripture. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I believe that with every fiber within me. I believe the Old Testament to be true. I believe it is God's word to me, to give me a light into how he dealt with his own people. And in dealing with his own people, then he brings Jesus Christ on the scene, or how Jesus deals with all of humanity. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we must be mindful of what we are thinking. You and I must not make plans to rush into evil. We must be mindful of that. We must not think how to gratify the desires. And remember, this is a warfare. It's a warfare. We're in that warfare. But hallelujah, 1 John 1:9. That is the scripture I encourage you to memorize. Who's got it memorized? 1 John 1:9. Quote it. Go ahead, Cindy. Hey, when you're walking, and you know that you're walking not different, you know you're not walking holy, guess what? You can come back to Him and have yourselves a holy revival. Asking the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you. So let me ask the question here this morning. What do you need to ask forgiveness of today? What do you need in order that you get in the big game and in order for you to do something, whatever it is the Lord wants you to do right now? What is it? What is it of the Lord wants you to ask forgiveness of here today? Because some of you are sensing the Holy Spirit of God and He's pressing upon you. And the reason why He's pressing upon you, first, that's a case that you're saved. Hallelujah! Secondly, He wants to use you this week, but you and your sin is in the way. You need to confess it to Him. He is faithful and just. Quit talking about what you're going to do and do what He wants you to do. Hallelujah! So fess up today. You're not fessing up to me. You're fessing up to the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in just a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to get real quiet. Nobody's going to move in the sanctuary. No one's moving. And you're going to have a time. You yourself are going to have a time with Jesus. You can get right with Him today. You do not have to leave here today with those dirty and filthy clothes on. You can take them off today. You can set aside and put on the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody writing, please.